You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Motion for standing session.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we can have the drop back, please.
All right, please. Please offer the counter for your
honor. Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we're back on the record. CR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Completed our morning break. Maybe to help move things forward here, Mr. Pryor, I'll note that we have now Defendant's Exhibit 19, which is the entire report of Officer Greenhalgh, including attached photographs. And I believe that's been offered and will be admitted by stipulation. Is that your understanding?
It is, Judge. And that's 19. Is that right, Judge?
Yes. Mr. Wixom from the state, does the state stipulate to the admission of Exhibit 19, which is the entire report, including statements and photographs?
We do, Your Honor.
Okay. That'll be admitted then as a single exhibit. And you can proceed with your continuing cross, Mr. Pryor.
Now, Ms. Dye, as part of your activities on the scene at Ms. Daybell's death, you eventually went back and did a chart or a report as it related to this case. Do you recall that? And part of that is to do a body chart and identify things of significance on that body chart. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you, in fact, did that. Did you recall that?
Yes.
If I were to provide you with a copy of the chart, would you recognize that chart? If I could have the bailiff approach the witness. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I showed it to you.
Okay.
And do you recognize those documents?
Mm-hmm.
Are those the documents that you prepared after your examination of Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And the date of those are 10/20/14. Is that right?
Yes, that's the date the report was completed.
And those are true and accurate copies of what you prepared as a result of your examination of Tammy Daybell on the date of her death. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, Judge, I'm going to move for admission of defendant's exhibit, and I would like it to be marked E and F, Judge. I think it's consistent with A, B, and C.
E and F.
E and F, 89 E and F.
89 E and F?
Yes, Judge. And I think that was how it was previously disclosed to the state on my exhibits.
Any objection to exhibits 89 E and F?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Defense exhibits 89 E and 89 F are admitted. And again, two separate exhibits there, Mr. Pryor. It's a body chart. And then
two body charts, Judge.
Two body charts. Thank you.
You want to have that marked now, Judge, or how do you want to handle that?
I'll have the clerk mark that, actually, so we keep it straight.
You're getting your mileage in today. Sorry. You're walking
today. Yeah. So to be clear then, Mr. Pryor, the top, there's two pages here. The top page you gave me will be E and the bottom page will be F.
Yes, Judge.
Okay.
Now, ma'am, you've had a may I proceed, Judge?
You may.
You've had a chance to look at what's been marked Exhibit 89E and 89F. Is that correct?
Yes.
And based on the time that you spent at Mr. Daybell's residence observing Tammy, this is a true and accurate reflection of what you observed on that day, correct?
Correct.
And there, at this point, there's no changes that you would make or anything that you would modify in regards to this, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Judge, could I publish this?
Yes. There's a light on that device, Mr. Pryor, that'll help with the shadow.
Thank you. Okay. So on your, and let me know when you're ready, ma'am.
Yeah, go ahead.
On your left, when you're looking at the screen, and it's the face down figure, up on the arm we have a term. What is that term?
Lividity.
And blood had gathered there, is that right? That's what that means?
Yes.
Okay, and then a little further to the right on the same figure, there's another word that, what is that word?
Lividity.
And then to the left again on the same figure down near the lower part of the back, there's another word.
Lividity.
And then down on the legs, there's another term. What's that term?
Lividity.
So from what I gather from this, there was lividity on her entire body. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. So we weren't able, with lividity, you aren't able to really make a determination other than the fact that she was laying flat at some point, right?
Yes.
Or she was laying on her front, one way or the other, right?
On her back.
Okay. So in your report, when you discussed this with the FBI, you had, based on all of your experience, you had said that the body had been dead for about 5 to 6 hours. Do you recall telling the FBI that?
Approximately, yes.
Okay. Well, you said 5 to 6 hours. So are you, that's what you testified to the FBI. Is that incorrect?
No.
Okay. So I guess the question is that Mr. Daybell mentioned that Tammy, he was awoken by the fact that Tammy had slipped out of the bed when he pulled the covers. You recall that?
Yes.
And Tammy had fallen down and her head was on the floor and her leg was up on the bed. You recall that?
That's what I was told, yes.
Okay. So if Tammy had died in the bed and had passed away in the bed, this lividity would be consistent with her dying in bed on her back, right?
Yes.
And if she fell down and that's what woke Mr. Daybell up, there wouldn't be lividity up in her head, would there?
No.
So when Mr. Daybell told you that he was awoken when he pulled the covers, rolled over, and Tammy slid off the bed, well, that's consistent with the lividity here. She was in bed. She died in bed. And when he pulled the covers, she slid off. So wouldn't his story be consistent with the lividity findings, that she actually was in bed for 5 or 6 hours?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I want to go over to the other side, and the one that's facing. And on that particular one, it says something about tinged foam. Could you read that for me?
Blood-tinged foam.
Okay. And that's what you observed on her body was the, and we saw the pictures of the blood-tinged foam in her mouth, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then further down on what would be her right arm, you put a word, two words there. And what are those words?
Old bruising.
Okay. So old bruising. Now, you didn't put new bruising, did you?
No.
You didn't put any marks on anywhere else on her body, right?
No.
And as part of your investigation, you are to do, you by statute are required to do a thorough investigation of the body. Is that right?
Yes.
And you did that day, didn't you?
Yes.
And what you came up with is that she had some foam in her mouth and there were some old bruises on her right arm. That's what you came up with, right?
Yes.
And you came up with nothing else on her body that showed any indication of any other trauma, marks?
No.
We can take that one down. I'm done with that. And Judge, at this time, I'm going to want to publish Defense Exhibit 19, I believe.
All right. Give me a moment.
19F, Judge. I'm sorry. And Judge, this is the one where we... Counsel.
Sorry?
This is just... Mr. Bailiff, would...
All right, again, Mr. Pryor, the way we're admitting and have admitted Exhibit 19 is just a single exhibit, so you can reference photographs contained within 19. They're not going to be given separate designations, so 19F is not going to be an exhibit. So you'll have to refer to it by, I guess, page number, because that's the way it came in as one document. We're not going to have the sub-documents in 19. It's just one exhibit.
And Judge, unfortunately, there are not page numbers on these.
Okay. Well,
I can identify it as...
you can describe it or count through the pages, but okay. It's one single exhibit.
And Judge, this page number is a photo of Tammy Daybell's right arm showing some discoloration.
Okay, and we've got the original exhibit here that's getting processed. We'll get that over to you here shortly, and you can publish off that, courts.
Judge, I've also got it on my screen. Could we do that by HDMI?
You could do that as well if that's a accurate...
So would you approach and look at this to see that it's a true and accurate same one, right? Judge, counsel has acknowledged it's the same picture.
Okay, as long as it corresponds with the actual exhibit. Exhibit 19 is admitted. It's the paper document of the entire report with the pictures. If you want to select one of the pictures to publish, we'll do that. I understand this is also a photograph, death scene photograph, the court's not going to publish to the public. It's going to be published to the jurors and the parties only based on a graphic content.
Your Honor, may I have permission to stand here during this part of the cross-examination so I can have a vantage point for the screen?
You may.
Oh, it's up there. The magic. So, ma'am, you're looking at what's a part of 19, Exhibit 19. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And the old bruises that you were talking about, are those reflected on the two would look to be discolored marks on Tammy Daybell's arm?
Yes.
And that's what you saw on that day, correct?
Yes.
And those are the old bruises that you talked about that you identified on her body on that day, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Judge, that's all I have at this point with this.
All right.
So you testified earlier and you used the words, if I don't deem it necessary, if I don't deem it necessary that an autopsy is done, it's my decision alone to decide whether an autopsy is done, correct? Your decision alone to decide whether an autopsy is done, correct?
It's ultimately my decision.
Right.
Yes.
And you looked at these old bruises that you identified, correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And you looked at the foam coming from the mouth, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I didn't see any other marks or any other indication of anything other than the lividity that you talked about, correct?
Correct.
And based on that, you then issued a death certificate, right?
Yes.
Now, before you issue a death certificate, you have an obligation, do you not? Before you issue and sign that death certificate, are you aware of your obligation?
Yes.
Okay. And that obligation is that you want to attest, but when you put your signature down on that death certificate, you want to be sure that what you're signing is true and accurate to the best of your ability based on the information you have at the time of the death. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. And at that point, the death certificate, and Judge, I'm not going to publish Exhibit 20, but Exhibit 20 reflects that death certificate. You talked about pulmonary edema. And then there was another cause for this, right? Another reason why you cited her, two things that you cited as part of what you felt was her death, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you did talk to Chad, and he talked to you about the fact that Tammy vomited the night before, correct?
Yes.
And you had mentioned about the stomach. Was that stomach completely full?
No, not completely.
Right. And were you aware, when you were there, did you talk to Garth about the fact that he bought Tammy a quarter pounder and some French fries that night? Did you discuss that with Garth?
No.
Okay. But when you went through the autopsy, you found potatoes in her stomach, right?
I didn't identify it.
Okay.
I just saw the stomach contents.
Okay. But you weren't able to identify that there were potatoes in her stomach. And you didn't identify the fact that there was any sight of a quarter pounder or anything like that, correct?
No.
Okay. So when you said that you found it unusual that her stomach was full, it wasn't really full. It just had contents in it. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So we really don't know whether Tammy Daybell threw up that night other than the fact that Chad said she did, right?
Right.
And when you showed up, Chad Daybell is sobbing, he's crying, and he's telling you how his wife threw up the night before, correct?
Yes.
Went to sleep, and she fell off the bed. And based on the lividity, his story is consistent with what the lividity findings you had, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also had an opportunity to look at Officer Greenall's report, correct?
Yes.
And you saw that the number of medications that Tammy Daybell was taking, correct? Do I need to refresh your recollection with it again? Do you need to see it again?
I saw it.
You saw it? You sure?
Yes.
So on page one of Officer Greenall's report, and the comment was that they're on the table every morning and she takes them to help her. You recall seeing that in Officer Greenow's report?
Yes.
And you discussed that with Officer Greenow, right? You discussed what Tammy Daybell was taking as part of your investigation, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're aware that she was taking fluoxetine, thank you. Fluoxetine, which is Prozac.
Yes.
She was taking acetaminophen. She was taking ibuprofen, right? Vitality extracts, immunity, energy, grapefruit, peppermint. I apologize. Vitality extracts for immunity, energy, grapefruit, and peppermint. You saw that as well, right? On the table, right?
I recall it was in the cupboard.
Right. You recall that was in the cupboard? That wasn't on the table?
Not the bedside table, the kitchen cupboard.
Well, when Officer Greenow says, Chad showed me all of the over-counter medicines she takes, she said she has approximately 10 bottles on the table every morning. So would you be mistaken possibly that Officer Greenow must have made a mistake in her report, or do you possibly, you just don't recall correctly?
Doesn't it say in her report, the cupboard?
Oh, it talks about what was in the cupboard. And that there were other things in the cupboard in addition to these things. But Officer Greenow talks about this being on the table. You don't remember that?
There's a picture of those medications in the cupboard in the kitchen.
Okay. Okay. And then Equate cough medicine, right?
Yes.
Essential oil respiratory blend, right?
Yes.
And then lastly, supplement for bruising and sore muscles. Remember that as well?
Yes.
And then there is a reference that most of what was in the cupboard were essential oils, natural remedies, and some pain medication. Okay?
Yes.
So this cupboard was full of a number of essential oils, right?
Yes.
This cupboard was full of natural remedies, correct?
Yes.
And this cupboard was included in all of these things as well. A lot of medicine that she was taking, right?
Natural, yes.
Yeah. And there's no doubt in your mind the Tammy Daybell was the one taking all of these medications, right?
That's what we were told, yes.
Okay. And Chad talked to you about Tammy having minor fits and shaking consistent with fatigue, right?
Consistent with syncopal.
Minor fits.
Syncopal episodes.
She had.
Yeah, Mr. Pryor, please let her finish her answer before you get another question going.
You want me to restate?
Yes, please.
You were told that Tama would have minor fits of shaking, which were consistent with seizures, correct?
Yes.
Now, when you have a seizure, you're aware that you don't need to have a heart condition or a problem with your organs in order to have a seizure, right?
It's in the brain.
Okay. But what in the brain is the seizure? It doesn't necessarily mean you have a sign of it in your brain, do you?
I'm not a doctor, so I don't.
Okay. But you made an assessment here based on what you said, and you signed a death certificate saying that this was something other than homicide or murder, didn't you?
Initially, yes.
Okay. And then her daughter Emma talked about her mother was trying to take clogging classes, but then in the last month or so wasn't able to keep up and was having some difficulty as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And there was some discussion that Chad was in the temple, and that's part of his faith, I guess. We previously talked about a temple, and that's somewhere, I guess, where you practice your religious faith.
Yes.
And during that time while in the temple, she fainted while she was kneeling down, right?
Yes, when she went to stand up, yes.
Right. And there were other instances where she was having health issues and balance problems as well that were vaguely referenced in the report, right?
Yes.
So based on the fact that she had seizures, based on the fact that those bruises were nothing new or recent, there was nothing on her neck or face that indicated that she was smothered, choked, or anything like that, you made the determination that there was a medical reason for why she passed away, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that all changed though, right?
Yes.
And then at some point, you received a call from some police officers in Arizona, right?
Yes.
And they said, hey, we got this situation with Lori Vallow, right?
Yes.
And we got another situation with Lori Vallow and Alex Cox related to the name Brandon Boudreaux, right?
Yes.
And the first situation was with Charles Vallow, right?
Yes.
Did that officer happen to tell you at that time that Chad Daybell isn't implicated or involved in any criminal proceeding against either of those folks? Was that told to you at that time?
That, yes, Chad Daybell's name was mentioned with Lori Vallow.
Yeah, but did they happen to tell you that they're not pursuing any charges against Mr. Daybell at that point?
No.
Okay, so that was left out when they talked to you about looking into this thing, right?
Yes.
And then at that point, based on your previous observation of foam in the mouth, right?
Yes.
And the lividity, right?
Yes.
And what those police officers told you when you had your discussion with them, right?
Yes.
At that point, you decided maybe I need to look into this thing a little more, right?
Yes.
And at that point, you helped with the officers getting an order to exhume Tammy Daybell's body.
Yes.
Did you start an inquest per statute into this matter?
I can't answer that.
Well, you can, because did you start an inquest? You read the statute. If there's an allegation someone has been murdered, homicide, suicide, you have the option to start a public inquest.
Hold on before you answer. Grounds.
Counsel should not be interpreting the law at this point, and I don't know if she's able to draw the legal conclusion.
It's a yes or no question, but to the extent it's calling for any legal conclusion, it's sustained.
Okay. Well, yes or no? Did you start an inquest?
No.
Instead, what you did is you started working with the police officers and the prosecuting attorney.
Objection, argumentative.
Sustained.
At this point, you then notified the police that you wanted her body dug up, right?
At that point, we were working with the FBI and police from different locations, yes. Oh,
so the FBI was involved as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
And at that point, there was an order to have Tammy's body removed from the ground, right?
Yes.
Now, as part of your duties as a coroner, isn't it true that you're also supposed to notify families in regards to any death or suspicious death and let them know what's proceeding in these matters?
I believe that was done.
It was done?
I believe it was.
Do you know what family members they happened to mention that to, that they were digging their mother out of the ground?
I don't recall which ones. No.
Okay. And it was your duty to do that, so you don't recall your duty of having to notify them that they're digging their mother out of the ground. Right?
I work closely with the investigators
Okay. Through
the sheriff's office, our detectives, and...
And I didn't ask you about what you did with the investigators, ma'am. I asked you whether you told the family you were digging their mother out of the ground.
No.
Was there any other reason you were looking for a reason for why Tammy Daybell could have died other than what you said about the lividity or anything else? Was there any other thing, other suspicious circumstances you were looking for?
At the time of her death, no.
And at the time of digging her up, were you looking for something else?
Yes.
What were you looking for?
Suspicious activity, anything that would... result in homicide.
Okay. And that was after talking to the police. You were looking for information that would help maybe convince you to change your report to something other than natural causes. Is that right?
After several things happened, yes.
Well, I'm not talking about Brandon Boudreaux or Charles Vallow. We've already established what that's all about. I'm talking about the facts you had when Tammy Daybell was put in the ground. It was lividity, and that really was it, wasn't it?
No. I was told about her past health history.
Okay.
And that played into her cause of death, yes.
Did you happen to look at Teton medical report and see what her past medical history was?
I did review it.
Okay. Yes. So then you're real well aware that Tammy Daybell had a history of anemia, right?
Past history, not current.
Right. Well, she wasn't being treated because she wouldn't go to the doctor for anemia. You didn't see any indication that she had been cured of anemia, right?
It just stated her past medical history.
And based on your information, there's no indication in any single medical report that, you know, amazingly, Tammy Daybell has been cured of her anemia, right?
No.
Okay. You also saw that she had a family history of heart disease and heart problems as well, right?
Family history, yes.
Yeah, family history, right?
Yes.
And you're also aware that Tammy Daybell had a difficulty with going and seeing doctors, correct? She didn't like to see doctors, did she?
Correct.
In fact, she relied on homeopathic essential oils and minerals to solve her medical maladies, right?
That's what I was told, yes.
Right. Okay. So based on the other information that you had about Tammy's history, you decided that even though there's anemia and there's a past history of of heart disease and heart issues in the family, we were still going to dig her up, right?
Yes.
And yes. Would you agree with me, ma'am? You were basically going on a fishing expedition looking for a reason to
change. Objection. Argumentative, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You were basically looking for some reason to dig Tammy up and try to come up with another cause of death, right?
Objection again. Argumentative, Your Honor.
Sustained. Ask a question, please, Mr. Pryor.
After she was dug up and you went into the and had the autopsy done, right? By the way, where was that autopsy done?
In Utah.
Where in Utah?
I don't recall exactly.
Okay.
Where we were.
But you were in Utah somewhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Judge, if I could just have a minute.
You mean?
That's all I have.
All right, Mr. Wixom, redirect.
If I may, Your Honor.
Mr. Bailiff.
Ma'am, do you recall being asked several questions about what your legal responsibilities are as a coroner by the defense counsel?
Yes.
Okay. With respect to your duty to perform an investigation, will you please recount what steps you took in your investigation originally at the time of death?
I asked for medical history for Tammy, looked for medications. We also looked in the bedroom, in the nightstand drawers, for anything that would be suspicious. And then Officer Greenhalgh and myself and Deputy Wilmore also spoke with one of two of our detectives. And Officer Greenhalgh was told just to take some good pictures and document well.
And in fact, pictures were taken. Is that correct?
Yes.
Were you present when those pictures were taken?
Yes.
Did you provide any instruction as a coroner as to what pictures to take or how to take them?
Yes.
Do you recall anything else you did as part of your investigation? Let me ask this. Did you attempt to talk to Garth about the circumstances of his mother's death?
I mostly just talked to Chad and Emma. At the time, Garth was just very quiet and just would nod when we would ask him questions or when Chad would respond. He was just really quiet.
And with respect to a number of the questions, you continued to tell the jury, that's what I was told. Do you remember responding in that manner?
Yes.
Yeah. Who was the person on scene that was primarily providing you with all the information that you were relying upon?
Chad Daybell.
And at the time, did Chad bring up any issues about his connection to Lori Vallow?
No.
Did he bring up Alex Cox's name?
No.
Did he bring up the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreaux?
No.
Defense counsel made clear that you had estimated an approximate time of death, roughly 5 to 6 hours before you arrived on scene. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Likewise, you were asked questions about finding a number of supplements and other over-the-counter prescriptions on scene. Was it even possible for you to ascertain how long those items had been on scene before you got there?
No.
Did you get any other information from Chad to verify that, in fact, she was taking those supplements and they had been on scene prior to her passing?
I did not.
Do you think it's possible that someone else could have put those supplements on scene before you arrived?
They could have, yes.
You were asked about your duties to provide an accurate death certificate.
Yes.
And in fact, you did file an original death certificate and then a second amended certificate.
Yes, correct.
Why did you file the second amended certificate?
The results of the autopsy and two other dead children at the same residence.
What other dead children are you referring to?
JJ and Tylee.
Did Chad volunteer any information about those two at the time?
No.
When you filed the amended certificate, were you doing that as part of your duty as a coroner?
Yes, I was.
And explain that. Why? How was that a fulfillment of your duty?
That was the conclusion of the investigation.
You were asked several questions about the bruising that was observed on Tammy's arm.
Yes.
Do you have any qualification as you sit there today to determine the age of bruising?
It looked old to me, but I don't have the expertise.
And in fact, during the autopsy that you observed, did the ME provide any information about that?
Judge, I'm calling. Calls for medical conclusion, calls for hearsay, and there's a lack of foundation.
Sustained.
But as you sit there, do you have any reason to think you have the ability to say whether they were old bruises or fresh bruises, you personally?
Me personally?
No. You were asked some questions about your duty to inform family if you feel like there might need to be further investigation and exhumation. Do you remember that question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And why didn't you do that?
I don't recall. I don't.
Do you remember what you told the defense attorney a few moments ago?
Our detectives and officers, I believe they informed the family.
So that was your understanding at the time?
That was my understanding, yes.
Were you ever given any information from law enforcement about how cooperative the family was during the course of the investigation?
Judge, objection.
I just asked this for me.
They're basing the response on hearsay. And the only way they would get that is through hearsay, Judge.
Yeah, the question was she given information? It's eliciting hearsay. Mr. Wixom, it's sustained.
May I argue on that, Judge?
No, I made the ruling, so ask another question.
You indicated that while you were on scene, I think your words were that Chad was sobbing and crying.
Yes.
And is it fair to say that different people have different emotions when there is a grief situation? Were you able to observe or get any information about whether or not a few weeks later when Chad was marrying Lori Vallow, if he was crying or sobbing?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Is it fair to say that when you were asking these questions on scene about Tammy's health, that Garth didn't give you any information about her health?
No, he didn't. Only that he was sharing her fluoxetine prescription with his mom.
And again, you've already testified about the reasons for your change in the admitted certificate.
Yes.
And that was based upon you being at the autopsy.
Judge asked and answered.
Overruled. Go ahead.
You already explained you attended the autopsy.
Yes, I did.
Is there anything else as you sit there today that you can explain to the jury that you learned from that autopsy experience that helped support your decision to change the death certificate?
The expertise of the medical examiner and the investigation that was going on into other deaths and...
Anything further? Anything else? Your Honor, I don't have any further questions.
Judge, there were some new subjects brought up about Alex Cox, Lori Vallow, as well as supplements on the scene and the when those arrived. I think I ought to be allowed to at least inquire on those two subjects.
On the supplements on the scene, I'll allow that. On the other topics, I think that was within the scope of cross. So just on that limited point made by redirect on the supplements, you can recross.
Ma'am, do you recall about what time the call was made, the 911 call was made?
I don't recall the exact time it was made, no.
But you did say that you dispatched your deputy coroner, Tammy Wilmore, to be there because she could have gotten there within 10 minutes, right?
Correct, yes.
And the purpose for that is that she lives, we're not going to say the town, but she lives close by this residence.
Yes.
And she could get there relatively quickly, correct?
Quicker than me, yes.
So when the dispatch 911 call was made, Miss Wilmore was there within 10 minutes, right?
She was in bed when it happened, so probably not 10 minutes. She had to get dressed and gather her stuff and respond to the scene, yes.
But you were there within 20 minutes, and she arrived before you got there.
I said approximately.
Yeah. So prosecuting attorneys suggesting that someone ran out and bought a bunch of supplements, staged this thing, and within 10 minutes of Miss Wilmore arriving, planted all of this evidence.
That isn't very realistic, is it?
Could have happened before.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Before.
Fair enough. Thank you, Judge. Nothing else.
All right. That concludes the testimony then of Coroner Dye. Is the state seeking to recall the witness in the future? From the defense.
And Judge, Ms. Dye is under subpoena from my office, but I'm releasing her from that subpoena today.
Okay. So that does conclude your testimony for the trial. You can be excused. Thank you for appearing. You can go ahead and step down from the witness box and we'll gather anything that was there in way of exhibits. All right. The state may call its next witness.
Judge, at this time, the state would call Kelsey Harris.
The testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me
God. All right. The court will note the witness is now under oath. I do have a few questions before we start with the examination. Ms. Harris, have you viewed, watched online, or observed any of the trial testimony that's taken place since this case started?
No, I have not.
All right. Have you talked to anyone else about the testimony they've given in trial?
No.
Okay. Mr. Wixom, you can proceed with your direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, ma'am. Will you please state your full name for the record?
Kelsey Harris.
Will you please spell it for the reporter?
KelsieHarris.
And where do you live?
Sugar City.
Is that here in Idaho?
Yes.
Ma'am, do you recall knowing a Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
I want to draw your attention back to October of 2019. Did you have any association or interaction with Ms. Daybell back then?
Yes.
What was that association?
She was a student in my clogging class in Sugar City, and she also worked at the school as a librarian. And at the time, I worked at the school as well.
What did you do at the school at the time?
I worked in the kitchen.
Did you have regular contact while at work with Ms. Daybell?
Yes, I saw her frequently.
Would you, how often during the course of a week or a day might you have?
Every day I would see her.
How would you generally describe your relationship with her?
We were friends. We would see each other at class, in my class and at the school, and have conversation more than just a hello.
Okay. And you mentioned a clogging class. For the sake of jurors or any of us who may not understand clogging, will you explain what that is?
So clogging is a fast-paced style of dance, and you wear clogging shoes that are similar to a tap shoe. It has two taps, and it creates loud sounds and also different rhythm steps.
And did you say you attended the class with her or you teach the clogging class?
I was the instructor of the class.
To the best that you can you recall what time frame was it that Tammy was attending that class?
It was the end of August, early September, until the time of her death in October 2019.
How often was the class held?
It was every week, a 60-minute class once a week.
Did she attend regularly?
Yes, every class.
How would you describe clogging overall? Would it be low intensity, medium intensity, high intensity? Where would you put it?
I would say medium intensity, because you're still getting that cardio and getting your heart rate up.
And when students are in the class, do you have the opportunity to observe them?
Yes, I do.
How often do you recall being able to see Tammy in class while she was clogging?
The whole time I'm observing all of the students, making sure there's no falling behind, that they're able to keep up with the steps that I'm teaching. And so I am constantly watching the students that way.
Okay. From your recollection, do you ever recall her falling behind in class?
No.
Do you ever recall any issues with her getting tired?
No.
Any issues at all that you recall with her ability to perform the clogging and keep up with the class?
No.
Now, with respect to any other activities, did you have any other activities that you were involved with, Tammy?
I did.
What were those?
So I attended a high fitness class in St. Anthony, and I stood right next to Tammy in that class, and that was my first time going. I was not the instructor at the time. I was just a participant, and I stood right next to Tammy in that class.
And for the jury's sake, will you just kind of elaborate
What did you do in high fitness class?
So high fitness class is very high intensity. You're doing burpees, a lot of jumping jacks, explosive movements to really get the heart rate up.
And you said you were standing next to her in class?
Yes, I was.
How often was that class held?
2 times a week.
How long was each class?
60-minute class.
Did Tammy, as you recall, attend that regularly?
Yes.
What time frame do you recall attending that class with Tammy relative to her death?
It was about late September of 2019.
And what did you observe, if anything, about Tammy's performance in that class?
Nothing like, so I observed that she was able to keep up in that class and was doing those high intensity moves like the burpees and things like that. And she was able to keep up with that class as well.
And just as a comparison, how different was high fitness than clogging in terms of intensity?
So high fitness is very high intensity. Clogging is still that cardio workout, getting your heart rate up. But as far as like the up and down movements, clogging, we're still moving at a fast pace. And yeah.
Thank you. So just based upon your personal observations overall, with what you saw in Tammy in those classes and the interactions at school, let me withdraw that and go back. With respect to your interactions at school and at work, did you have any occasion to observe anything that would give you clues about Tammy's health?
No.
So did you withdraw, based upon what you observed in clogging and in high fitness, did you ever see anything that would give you any questions or concerns about how healthy she was?
No.
Did you ever see anything about her struggling or not keeping up?
No, not at all.
Did she ever express any concerns about how she was feeling?
No.
And at these classes, did you talk to her regularly?
I did, yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no further questions.
All right, thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Would you tell me, again, when did these clogging classes start?
It was the end of August, early September, and they ran every week, and that was the year 2019.
So it was once a week?
Yes.
And let's say you started in September. So there were a total of 5 classes that Tammy attended before she passed away. Would that be fair?
Yeah, correct.
5 classes?
Yes.
Okay. And the same thing for the other activity, the high intensity. She only went to one of those though, right?
I could tell she went to more of those. I just attended the one class for my first time.
Well, you don't know whether she attended more. You only saw her at one of those high intensity classes. Isn't that true?
So yes, I did see her.
Okay. Now, I don't want to disparage anybody, but would you describe Tammy's figure as being a body of someone who was extremely fit?
I would say she was a very fit woman.
You'd say she was a very fit woman. Okay.
I would.
Now, you know her daughter, Emma, right?
Correct.
And her daughter, Emma, went to the one high intensity class with her as well, right?
Correct.
And that's the only time you saw Emma and Tammy at the high intensity class, that one time, right?
So Emma was a participant as well in my clogging class.
And I'm going to get to that. Emma would stand with her mother at the back of the clogging class and participate in that as well in the very back of the room, right?
Right.
Right. And how many people were in this clogging class?
There were about 7 total.
Okay. And again, if I understand, the clogging classes were twice a week and about the same time, September until Tammy passed in October, right?
Correct. The clogging class was once a week.
Oh, the clogging was once a week? Oh, I'm sorry. I had it down for twice. It was only once
a week. The high fitness class was twice a week.
Oh, but the high fitness, you only saw her there once. The clogging, you saw her for all 6?
Yes.
5 or 6 of the classes she attended that time, right?
Yes.
And her daughter, Emma, was there right next to her the whole time, correct?
Correct.
So if there were any issues, you're in the front of the class. If there were any issues with her mother, Emma would probably be the best judge of whether there were issues with her mother and her activity and participation level. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you said you worked at the school. You worked in the cafeteria or the food service portion of the school.
Yes.
Tammy was a librarian. You also know that Emma was teaching at that school as well, right?
Right.
And it was frequent in her usual practice for Emma and her mother to get together every time they had an opportunity to do so, right?
Objection, Your Honor, that assumes facts, not an evidence.
Stand.
Are you aware that whenever there was any free time during the school hours, that it was always Emma and her mother who would spend the majority of the time together?
Yes.
All right. Nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Can you recross?
Just a couple of questions, if I may, Your Honor.
Very well. I'm sorry, redirect, Mr. Wixon.
Which way, Judge? Ma'am, just very quickly, regardless of the cross-examination.
Judge, I'm going to object.
That's argumentative.
Yeah, fair enough.
Question?
Yeah.
With respect to the questions that you were just asked, is there any doubt that you have in your assessment of watching Tammy in clogging class and her performance?
There's no doubt, no.
So you are confident in what you've told
the jury? Asked and answered. Overruled.
You are confident in what you've told the jury about your personal observations about Tammy and how she performed?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Any need to recall the witness from the state or the defense?
Not from the defense, Judge.
Not from the state, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. That concludes your testimony in the trial. Thank you for appearing. You may go ahead and step down from the witness box. And you're released from any subpoena. All right, the state can call its next witness.
Judge, at this time, the state would call Shanna Miller.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
All right, the witness has been sworn. I'll just have a few questions before we begin with the examination. This trial, Ms. Miller, has been live streamed and publicly available for viewing. Have you observed or watched any of the trial testimony that's taken place?
No, I have not, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Have you discussed with anyone else their testimony they've given in the trial?
No, I have not.
All right, thank you for that affirmation. Mr. Wixom, you may proceed with direct.
Thank you. Good morning, ma'am. Will you please state your full name for the record?
Shanna Miller.
Will you spell it, please?
Shanna Miller.
And where do you live?
St. Anthony, Idaho.
And what do you do for work?
I have been retired for the last year and a half, but previous to that, I was a school teacher for 34 years.
What school did you teach at?
Central Elementary in Sugar City.
During your time teaching at Central Elementary, do you recall working with Tammy Daybell?
Yes, I do.
And did you become aware back in October of 2019 that she'd passed?
Yes.
Could you explain to the jury how often and in what way did you interact with Tammy at your work?
I was actually on the committee that interviewed Tammy for a job position at our school back in the spring of, I believe it was 2017. She was hired to be our computer specialist and our librarian. She also helped out with the lunch count, checking the kids in as they went to lunch. I was her colleague after we hired her. I also attended a high fitness class in St. Anthony with her and her daughter twice a week.
And what was that high fitness class?
It's called High Fit. It's a high intensity workout that lasts an hour. It consists of burpees, jumping jacks, lunges, squats, planks, all set to music.
And how often did you attend that class?
At the time, I was attending twice a week.
Okay. Do you recall how often at the time, prior to her death, Tammy was attending the class?
Yes. She and her daughter started attending, I believe it was the spring of 2018, and they attended up until her death in October of 2019.
Were they regular attenders?
Yes.
When they came to class, did you have opportunity to interact with Tammy or observe how she was doing?
Yes, I was on the back row, so all I needed to do was look over. I had opportunity to observe them.
Would you feel like you had a good vantage point, typically?
Yes.
What observations, if any, did you make about Tammy's performance in that class?
Well, it is a very rigorous exercise. It's highly aerobic. And at first, it's hard for anyone that's not in great shape to be able to have the stamina and the strength to be able to complete it. And at first, they weren't able to complete all of the exercises are set to, you know, songs. So they weren't maybe able to do all of the exercises completely correct or finish them, you know, accordingly at first. But as time went on, I would say after the first, I don't know, several weeks, maybe a couple months, they were able to complete the workout.
With respect to, let's narrow it down to the last few months prior to Tammy's death.
Okay.
Were there ever times that you saw Tammy lag behind?
No.
Did she ever stop or take breaks?
No.
Any indication to you that she wasn't keeping up in the class?
No.
Are you confident that based upon your interaction with her at the class and what you could see, that you would have observed that had she fallen back?
No.
You're not confident? Or?
Oh, sorry. Can you rephrase that question?
Sure. Any reason for you to think that you weren't able to have a good observation of Tammy and assess how she was doing?
Yes, I was. I would be able to be confident in to say that yes, I did.
And what about with work? I didn't ask. How often did you interact with Tammy at work?
I would see her probably, I would say, every day, sometimes several times a day. When I took my kids to library, that was once a week. Computer lab was once a week, maybe twice a week. Can't remember for sure. And then every day as I took my kids into the lunchroom, she'd check the kids off as they came through the lunch line. I would see her then.
Based on observations at work, do you feel like you were able to make any observations about her health or fitness from what you saw at work?
I would say from the time that she started the fitness class, her confidence level in herself, her overall image of herself, I think it had improved. She looked like she was in great health and in great shape to me.
And in terms of observing her doing her daily duties at work, did you ever see her get tired or worn out?
No.
What was your reaction when you first learned of Tammy's death?
Complete shock.
Why is that?
Because hours before that, I had seen her at work and she was happy, healthy, conversing with the kids as they, I guess the last time I would have seen her would have been the kids were going through the lunch line. She was conversing with them, complimenting them, smiling. She seemed perfectly healthy to me.
Thank you. Your Honor, I have no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixon. Cross-examination.
Good morning, Ms. Miller.
Good morning.
So your testimony is that you first started with the interview process of Tammy in the spring of 2017. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that she would have started her first year in the fall to start as her job as a librarian. Would that be fair?
Of 2017?
Of fall of 2017.
Yes. I believe that is correct.
Okay. You're not sure, though. It could be 2018.
Well, if I did the math correctly, she had worked there she was in her second year of teaching. The second year would have been 2019 to 2020. So that would have been 2018 to 2019, the year that she started working. Yeah.
So 2018, right?
Yes, it was 2000.
So when you say 2017, you really didn't know Tammy until the spring when you met her of 2018, correct?
I would have to do the math on that.
Okay.
Still not convinced.
Well, you know, she was in her second year of teaching at the school when she passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the first year of school, that's sort of a probationary period, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in that probationary period is when they give you the basic benefits, the start benefits that you have to go through as part of your probation, things like life insurance and medical care and all of that. You're given that minimum plan. And then after the first year, that's when you choose to upgrade to add the additional life insurance and death benefits and all that other stuff, right?
Objection, Your Honor. This is outside the scope.
Overruled.
That's when that second year is when you start adding and increasing all of those additional benefits because you've put a year in as your probationary period, right, ma'am?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you worked there.
Yes, I did for 34 years. That was a long time ago.
Okay.
When I first started working there.
So you're
but
not.
But I didn't up my death benefit my second year.
Okay. You do, I'm sorry, you what?
I did not up my death benefit the second year that I taught.
But that's not an uncommon thing to up your death benefit in the second year after you get that eligibility, right?
I couldn't answer that.
Right. And you said 2017, but really it was 2018 when you first met her in the spring, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Okay. And these, we had a previous witness who talked about these high intensity classes. And you're telling me that these high intensity classes started when?
They started attending. When they started attending or when they started?
When they started.
The instructor has been teaching those high intensity classes for the last at least 6 years. And she was teaching Zumba before that.
Okay. So your testimony is that you met Tammy in the spring of 2018. And ironically enough, that was exactly the time she started these high intensity dance classes at the same time, right? And that's how you became such fast friends, right?
No, I became friends before that at school.
Okay. With Tammy at school?
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't working there.
Well, shortly after she started working there, obviously we became friends.
Okay. And that was, she started working there in the fall of 2018 as the full-time librarian, didn't she?
Yes.
Okay. So isn't it true, ma'am, that the high-intensity classes started in September of 2019?
That they started in 2019? No. No, she had been attending for at least 9 months prior to that.
Okay.
Actually, it was more like a year and a half because she had started. I remember she'd started in the spring because her and her daughter had expressed that they wanted to get in shape for a 5K.
Okay.
And so some of my coworkers said, well, you should come to High Fit.
Okay.
And that will help you get in shape. And that would have been in the spring. So she did it that spring and then that fall. Then the following spring.
Okay, so in the spring of 2008, when you first met her, basically what happened in the very first spring when you were interviewing her, she signs up for High Fitness. She decides she's going to do a 5K. She's going to do all of these things.
No, we hired her.
My question,
well,
please.
Mr. Pryor, problem is it's argumentative. So just ask a question, please.
I didn't hear an objection from the prosecutor, Judge.
I know, but in fairness, it's in the long line of argument that she started responding. So just please go with questioning on cross.
Yeah. And you would agree with me that Emma was there for all of the times that Tammy was involved in that class. Would that be fair?
I believe so.
Okay. So Emma was standing next to her the entire time, right?
They worked out next to each other.
Okay. And did you watch Tammy the entire time that you participated in these high intensity exercises?
Off and on. I mean, you're always looking around, seeing, you know, what everybody else is doing, if they're following the instructor.
And how many participants were in these high-intensity exercise classes?
It would depend. There could be as many, as few as 15, as many as upwards of 24 to 30, depending on the night.
Do you know Kelsey Harris?
Yes.
Okay. Friend of yours?
No. Well, coworker, colleague.
Okay. You don't go to any classes with her, right?
No.
Okay. So how would you evaluate, if you were to make a determination, would you say that Tammy Daybell was very fit?
Yes.
So she had a low body fat? She had a petite figure? Is that what you're telling me?
You don't have to have a low body fat or a petite figure to be highly fit. But what I observed is that she had the stamina from the time she started to the fall that she passed. She had the stamina to be able to complete those rigorous
Okay.
workouts.
Okay. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
Redirect, Mr. Wixon.
No, Your Honor. We would excuse the witness.
All right. That concludes your testimony. Thank you very much for appearing today. Released from any subpoena. And I'll ask the state if they've got another witness to call.
We do, Your Honor. This time we would call Jennifer Geisler.
I'm sorry, Judge. I missed the name.
Jennifer Geisler.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.